Welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm one of your hosts, Brady Gaster, and this is our other host, Corey Fowler, off to the extreme right. Today we are being joined by Raghuram from the ASP.NET Web API team, and he's going to talk to us a little bit more this week about Web API and OData and all the awesome stuff that you can do in there.
Right.
Should be a good show. Should be a good demo, I believe. We have a demo coming up.
Okay. Lots of them.
Cool. So we have lots of demos. So you might be exhausted by the time we get done with this show. Before we get started with the important part of the show, do you have any announcements that you want to make? Anything coming up you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, I just came back from Miami, Florida. Went down to Sunshine PHP.
Nice.
First year conference. Was really great. Very well organized. Lots of great attendees and lots of excitement.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Went to the Dallas Day of .NET this past weekend. It was pretty good. Scott Hunter gave some pretty awesome presentations on Visual Studio and ASP.NET. And we had so much fun there that we've decided that we're going to go back again. Right now we have a tentative date scheduled for, actually it's pretty locked. It's this close to being locked. April 5th, I believe it's a Friday, in Dallas. We're going to have a Webcamps event. And I'll be there. So I don't know who else we're going to be taking with us. Maybe I can talk Corey into going with me. Who knows? If you want to use the comments feature, if you're interested in bringing somebody, if there's an engineer that you want to talk to, if you're blown away by this gentleman's presentations and you want to see him in Dallas, use our comments feature and let us know who you think you'd like to have come. Unfortunately, John Galloway can't make it. He's going to be on Mars or the moon or somewhere else giving another webcam, so he'll be kind of busy. But penciled in, April 5th, Dallas, Webcamps, not sure where, but we'll let you know closer to the time.
Yeah. And if you're not in the Dallas area, there's lots of webcams popping up all of the time.
Yeah. Tons of them all over.
Yeah, if you go to webcamps.ms, you can check out hopefully a location near you.
Yep. There's tons of them. We have a lot more coming up, too, so it should be good stuff. But without further ado, this man probably has 100 meetings that he has to go to, so we're going to turn the floor over to him and kind of let him get started and tell us about some more awesome stuff with Web API this week.
So most of you might already know a bit about Web API. It's kind of like a framework for building HTTP services. And then most of you might be knowing about OData as well, which is the protocol that Microsoft has. It's actually an open protocol. And Web API OData is just another set of framework on top of Web API that you can use to build OData services. And going with the Web API style of having components in the OData framework that we have in Web API, we have different components for implementing OData services. Some of them are like model builders, which are used to build the EDM model for the service that you are going to expose. And then we have an OData formatter on par with the other formatters that we ship, which is used to expose OData services. And then we have path and query parsers, which are used to parse OData URIs. And then the awesome queryable feature, we have a link expression tree generator that you can use to expose your iQueryables through the OData service.
And the queryable feature is what we covered last week on Webcamps TV.
So Yusuf was demoing that last week, so I won't be talking much about that. I'll just show a little bit of it. And then you might be asking this question, if you can build HTTP services, why build OData? Why build an OData service? Why not just a plain HTTP service? So OData comes with this common patterns on top of HTTP, patterns like querying, which we have seen in the last demo. And then you have paging support, which most people want to do. And then you have relationships. If you're exposing a plain HTTP service, the client doesn't understand what relationships you have in the model. So for example, let's say you have movies, you are exposing a dataset movies, and you are exposing a movie dataset actors. OData lets you give some metadata to show how a movie is related to an actor and stuff like that. And then the metadata, the one that I talked about, which is relationships and the type system, all that. And then the other advantage of exposing OData services over plain HTTP services is OData has a rich client ecosystem. You have Excel, which can take OData feeds and then display the data. And then you have lots of JavaScript libraries like Breeze.js, Data.js. and other libraries as well. And then you have the ad service reference, which can generate C# classes if you point at an OData service. So that's the advantage of having building an OData service as compared to a plain HTTP service.
Nice.
And the framework that we have is built on top of OData lib, which is the underlying library that DevCF Data Services uses as well.
And just to be clear, even though it says WCF Data Services, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be a .NET developer to use it. OData has a number of clients out there, HTML5, PHP, Node.js,
Java,
tons of different
Python.
Clients. Yeah,
yeah. Almost every programming language, as in most of the programming languages, have clients that can talk to OData services.
Cool.
Good stuff.
And then the other big advantage of our project is we are open source and we are accepting contributions. And you can go to our project at aspnetwebstack.codeplex.com, cool. Browse through code, write some unit tests, contribute back, file some bugs, and any other awesomeness with. In this demo, I'm going to show you how to write a simple OData service. And to do that, I have a database, movies database. Let me show you what how it looks like. Let me start with adding a new connection to the database. And it's actually a LocalDB database. And
he's turning it up to 11. That's pretty awesome.
Yes.
And I don't have the database attached, so let's go to the database, attach the database, give it a logical name. And then I have the database connected. Let's browse it. Let's see what it has. There are a couple of tables here. Actors, which has its columns, ID and name.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is another table, movies, which is ID, name, release year, some other properties like votes, country, etc. And then there is a relationship table, which has a relationship between actors and movies.
Mm.
So what actors have played a role in which particular movie. So that's the database that I have. Now let's start with building a new OData service. And let's actually host the service in a self-host, the self-host that comes with Web API. Let's call it OData demo.
I wonder if this could be used to answer a trivia question that my brother-in-law has asked me during the holidays.
What was the question?
Okay. He said, how many actors or actresses can you name who have taken part in all three of at least two different trilogies?
That's a complex question.
Yeah.
So we have created the project. So let's first start with installing a package. Let's do it the other way. So to connect to the database, let's use Entity Framework, the ORM for talking to SQL and other libraries, other databases as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add a NuGet package, the Entity Framework NuGet package. There you go. Install. Let's accept the license. So you now have the Entity Framework package installed. Let's build some models to connect to this database, model for movies and actors. We can go the code first way for writing these models, but let's just use one of the Entity Framework PowerShell scripts to reverse engineer the code first models from this database. Let's connect to the DB.
So basically, you're connecting it to the database here, and it's just going to run a script to detect what tables and columns
tables
you have
there,
and
create models for you.
Hmm. Great. Cool.
Let's see. We are connecting to the movies database.
This is neat. I haven't tried this yet.
Hmm.
So created a couple of classes, actor and movie. So have the classes. Let's just rename this movies context with a capital M. Let's rename this as well. Hope it builds.
Okay. Still have one.
Builds. Okay. Now you have the database, you have the models. Let's start with installing the self-host, which is the server that the hosting server for Web API, the self-host server. Install, let's do it from the console. Microsoft ASP.NET Web API self-host.
Now, is this self-host project, is there a name for it? Because I know there's a whole bunch of different self-host containers. For
this one is a self-host package that you need to install to, as in host Web APIs in self-host.
But so if we were to go through the GUI, what would I search for to find the self-host?
You can just search for Web API self-host.
Okay, then, so it's just called the Web API self-host?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then let's install the OData package as well. Microsoft ASP.NET Web API OData. And just for the demo, I'm going to use a pre-release version of this package. The actual final version hasn't shipped yet. It's going to ship very soon. Okay. Oh, install package. So we have the packages installed, and we can go ahead with our demo. So there are three simple steps to get started with building an OData service using Web API. The first step is create your data model. So we are going to build an EDM model for exposing our OData service. That's the first step. So let's do that. Let's IEDM model.
Modern all kinds of stuff.
Get service model. So the way you build an EDM model using Web API OData is there are two ways to do that. One is we ship a class called as OData Convention Model Builder. So which is a model builder. So it is a model builder for building EDM models that has a predefined set of conventions. So let's use that. Convention model builder. So when you're building an EDM model with the OData convention model builder, you need to tell it what entity sets you have. So right now we have two entity sets, movies and actors. So let's tell it that we have two entity sets. Let's say actor. Let's call the entity set actors. And let's say expose another entity set, movie. Movies.
So I've actually taken the accessing data in .NET 4 exam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for those of for those out there that might not have actually used Entity Framework before, can you just explain briefly what EDM stands for?
So EDM stands for Entity Data Model. Hmm. It's actually a relation model that Entity Framework and OData also uses. So in the relation model, you have entity sets. Entity sets are essentially stored for your data. And then the type system has three different types of types. One is entity types. Entity types are types that are addressable. So for example, you can address an actor by his ID or by his name. So actor is an entity type. And then entity types live in entity sets. So if you're coming from the database perspective, entity types actually map to schema, table mm-hmm. schemas, and entity set actually maps to actual tables in the database. Yep. And then you can have complex types. Complex types are not addressable as such. Let's get to that later. So you have defined your entity sets here. Now let's say you just need to return the EDM model. that's it. You have your EDM model built. Now, the next step to build an OData service is define your routes. So how does your, where does your model, where are you exposing your entity sets? Where are you exposing your entity types and all that? So let's start with, as we are building an self-host, let's start with the web API style of configuration. Self-host configuration, config. Let's give it the address that you want to expose the service at. Let's say we want to expose it at some random port.
You only have one forward slash there.
Ah, forward one slash. Yep. Now you can expose your data using the map OData route method. And let's just have a reference system web HTTP. So the map OData route takes three parameters. One is the route name, could be anything, let's call it default. And then the route prefix. So you're saying that the service lives at HTTP localhost 50232. Mm-hmm. So let's say you want to expose your service at the prefix OData, which is saying that the service would live at HTTP localhost 50232/OData. So give it the prefix, and then let's give it the service model, the EDM model. So you have mapped your OData route. Let's just start the server. Create a server with this configuration. Open the server. Just print something. And let's wait for a key press. That's it.
Cool.
You now have a working OData service.
So we've essentially set up a self-hosted HTTP server,
mm-hmm.
essentially, that is going to be able to expose your OData service.
Right.
Cool.
So let's just run this and see what it can do now. Okay, it started. Let's get to Fiddler, then execute a request. So OData services at the root of the service expose something called a service document.
Mm-hmm.
So the service document is essentially some metadata associated with the OData service. And it tells you what all entity sets the OData service is exposing. Let's see what the service document looks like.
So it's like your own personal cheat sheet to your data service.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if people are using your service that you've exposed, they can go and figure out what kind of metadata is there that's available to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you look at the service document, this one is an XML document. So it says there are two entity sets that are being exposed here. One of the entity set, the name is actors, and the other entity set that we are trying to expose here is movies. So,
gotcha.
So can we drill further down into that? So if you use OData/movies, would that actually expose
yes.
data?
Yeah.
If I wanted to see what properties were within movies, how would
mm-hmm.
I go about doing
that? Let's do that. So the the service document tells you what all entity sets are there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what other metadata that the service exposed. So there is this thing called as dollar metadata. So dollar metadata essentially exposes your EDM model, that is your type system that this service is exposing.
Okay.
So let's query dollar metadata and see what is there.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, wow.
Lots and lots of stuff.
So this dollar metadata is telling that there is an entity type with name actor
mm-hmm.
for which the key is ID. We are exposing a property called as ID, which is the key for that actor. And then there are other properties like ID and name. And then there is another entity type movie, and it has properties like ID, name, release year, rank, etc. And then dollar metadata also gives you the entity set that are being exposed. So, for example, actors entity set contains the entity type OData demo.models.actor.
Great,
nice.
So now let's get to, as you have asked, let's get to the movies data. see if we can browse movies or not. 404. So no type was found that matches the controller movies. So this is happening because you don't have, you're not, you just said that there are these entity sets, but you don't have a web API controller to expose the data from these entity sets. Mm-hmm. So let's start with writing a controller for the movies. So that's the third step to building an OData service, which is implement an OData controller. So let's implement that. Movies controller. And you need to inherit OData controller. So OData controller is a derived class of API controller. So we use this class to essentially distinguish between API controllers and OData controllers.
Yes.
And so when you are going to this URL, which is HTTP, localhost, whatever, odata/movies, you are going to the root of the entity set. So that particular action is, that particular URI is served by a particular action in the OData controller, which is get appended with the name of the entity set. So let's expose this. I queryable movie.
So like get movies or get mm-hmm. actors or something like
get
that.
Get movies. Nice. Let's just follow the conventions and get movies. So this is the OData action that is going to serve get movie the request HTTP localhost movies. And get movies, for this we need a DB context. Mm-hmm. So let's just create that private movies context, I think. Yeah, movies context underscore DB, initializing the entity framework DB context. And let's expose the DB set movies.
Nice.
There you go. And let's run the service again. And let's go to Fiddler and rerun this request.
Cool. Nice.
And a 200. And you have the movies. Let's see, Minority Report, Groundhog Day, and other movies as well.
Nice. So you just basically self-hosted a Web API endpoint, mm-hmm. then create a controller and host that controller at that endpoint,
mm-hmm.
so that people can ask for stuff, and then they could use the querying features
mm-hmm.
we talked about last week to actually query directly against this, kind of like we did with the normal Web API MVC project.
Mm-hmm.
Does it all work exactly the same way?
Yep.
Okay. Right.
So we have seen the JSON format. Let's see the other OData format, Atom, which is XML representation for the feed. So we are instead sending an accept header with application atom XML OData equal to feed because we are asking for a feed. Let's execute this request, see what XML looks like. And there you go. You have the feed, you have entries in that feed.
So people could pretty much like subscribe to this
right.
Web API using mm-hmm. their RSS reader.
RSS reader, yes.
Ooh, that's money.
Cool.
So if you have a real estate database out there and you want to mm-hmm. keep people up to date on like what new homes you're selling, you could hire a developer, they could write a web API call for you, you could expose all the stuff as an Atom feed, people can subscribe, set
yep.
up your own search kind of thing
mm-hmm.
with the querying functionality we saw last week. I think people can just set up their own search so they can find out all the houses that are coming up for sale, or for rent in our case, in whatever neighborhood it is we want to live in. It'd be good. Just an idea.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
And then there are other formats that OData has as well. So JSON, if you have seen, looks like this. And this is the latest OData V3 JSON format,
mm-hmm.
which we are calling it as JSON Lite. So if you see, it almost looks like vanilla JSON,
mm-hmm.
not much metadata. Whereas if you actually look at the XML, it has lots of metadata. So
yeah.
if you're just using a browser client, you might want to be asking JSON because it decreases the amount of payload.
Hmm.
And then there are other formats, which is the old JSON format that DebSafe Data Services has and the old OData JSON format, which is called as verbose JSON now. So let's ask for it and see what verbose JSON looks like. So there you go.
Wow.
The verbose JSON looks a lot more
verbose
metadata and
a
lot more verbose.
Yeah. Aptly named.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And then there are, so the JSON light is also called as minimal metadata. So you can ask for application JSON or data equal to minimal metadata, and it would be the same.
Nice.
And then you have something called as no metadata as well, which is saying don't give me any metadata.
Just the facts,
and,
ma'am.
Yeah. And you have not even that underscore underscore metadata thing as well.
Nice. Cool.
Those are the different formats, the content negotiation that you have over there. And let's see how querying works. Now, if you have seen in Fiddler, you have, you're essentially, I have about 100 movies in my database. And when you're asking for movies, you're exposing all the movies. So if you have a very large database, you don't want to do that because the response size would be too large. So let's now say the maximum that I want to return in a single request is 10 movies. So you can say something like queryable page size equal to 10 movies. And now let's run this again. And then run the filter request.
Nice.
There you go. You have only 10 movies in a single response, and you have the other awesome feature, which is the next page link. So if you go to this next page link, you get the next 10 set of movies.
Great. And that's a good example of how Web API is using hypermedia to kind of expose a little bit more information about your data sets to be able to navigate through and whatnot. Which really comes in handy when you're doing something like an RSS feed. So, you know, you can let developers know where the next piece is. They can head off to that.
Nice.
Right.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So, like, their reader could just go query the next and the next or whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty good stuff.
So the client doesn't have to make any assumptions about where the next set of data actually lives at.
I like that. That's fun.
Now, let's dwell deeper into the movies controller. Now, let's query for a particular movie that is indexed into the movies collection and ask for a particular movie. Let's see this movie, Memento.
Great film. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Fantastic film.
And this is the OData syntax, URI syntax for indexing into an entity collection, an entity set. So you are asking for movie by its ID, which is some random ID. There you go, 404 says you don't have an action that maps to entity set slash key. So let's implement that action. Public. So we're going to return a single movie. And the convention is get, and the name, that is get movie. And the input for this action would be the key, the ID of that movie. So let's return this underscore db find movies dot find. So you now have the action and get movie for getting for indexing into the entity set movies. And the other interesting thing about this action that you need to do is call something called as from OData URI. So the key is coming from the URI, and Web API has this concept called as model binding, which you might know if you have written a Web API service. The problem with from OData URI is you're trying to implement an OData service, and the conventions for OData URIs are slightly different from the general conventions for web API services. Mm-hmm. So the from OData URI is a custom model binder that is going to model bind OData parameters to your actions. So you need, if whenever you have the OData parameters in your actions, you need to use the from OData URI attribute.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So let's run this again. And let's run the request. And there you go. That nice. Particular movie, Memento.
Good stuff. If you want to get into some of the deep queries, you can do all the different query string parameter stuff like we talked about last week.
Right.
And get crazy with it.
Let me show you an example of querying.
Okay.
Let's say find all the movies in which one of the actors is Will Smith.
That's perfect.
Movies dollar filter.
Is what?
That's perfect. When I was traveling to Miami over the weekend, I was like, oh, I sure hope Will Smith comes out to welcome me to Miami.
So to do this query, we need to use this OData V3 feature called as any and all, which is essentially existential and universal quantification into entity sets. So you have actors, and you want to find a movie in which one of the actors is Will Smith. Yeah. So this is the syntax for it. %20 name. Will Smith. Okay, another %20. Let's execute this.
Uh-oh.
And you have Independence Day and I'm Legend.
Nice.
Cool.
And if you want to implement further OData actions, like let's say given a movie, you want to find out what are the actors in that movie. So to implement that, you need to implement an action called as getActors. Actors is the name of the navigation property, and you want to get that navigation property.
Okay.
So IEnumerable actor getActors. And identify the movie by the key, and don't forget the from OData URI.
Nice. So from data, from OData URI just says, get this from the URI, just get this from the query string or from the URI, and it automatically maps, rather than having to put that in your routes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I say we're building this out, we know that it's an OData API. Right, we know that we're building out an OData web API.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to just inherently say we know this, that all of our properties are going to come from
yes,
from an OData URI? Mm-hmm. Like, can I decorate the class level instead of having to decorate each parameter?
Mm. Yeah, that's something that I'm going to demo next.
Oh, cool,
that's
great.
That's a good question. Yeah. So let's just finish up this action and go to that part. So you're exposing the actors for a particular movie. And let's ask this OData and actors, movies of something, slash actors. I think I need to run my service. There you go.
Nice.
In that particular movie, all these people played a role.
Nice. So that just gives you back all the actors for that particular movie.
And that particular movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we have seen the OData controller.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of issues with the API that OData controller exposes is at a pretty low level. There are lots of things that we could do by default. So for example, as it was pointed out, from OData URI. You don't have to attribute your keys with from OData URI always. And if you're exposing a data set, you want to expose some basic CRUD operations like get an entity set, get a particular entity from the entity set, post, put, patch, update, all those basic operations. So for that, you have this convenience class called as entity set controller. And if you derive from entity set controller, we give you a lot of OData semantics for free. So instead of movies, let's expose the actors and use entity set controller to expose actors. So entity set controller is a generic class, and it takes two parameters. One is the type of the entity, so it's going to be actor here. And the other thing it takes is the type of the key mm-hmm. for the entity type. So actor has a key with string property. So key name would be string. And let's first start with exposing an entity set. For that, you need to override the get method. Mm-hmm. And as usual, get the DB context. And return the actors collection. And run the service. And just ask for actors. That's it. There you go.
Nice.
Have all the actors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's override some other methods and see what all functionality we can get.
Brady really likes Scarlett Johansson. Is there any way that we could search for her?
Sure. Let's override.
Who does it? Oh, yeah, my wife.
So this is a helper method that you need to override, get entity by key, so which is essentially the previous one that as get movie in the movies controller. So let's find key.
You talk smack now, but one day she's going to be on the show.
Oh, totally.
We're going to get her on the show.
Well, the first episode of a show on Channel 9 that I was on, Katy Perry was on the show, and we were actually talking about how do we store images of Katy Perry in Windows Azure storage.
That's yeah. Nice.
Like, just her picture, or she was on?
No,
was
it was her picture. It was
I was
going to
say.
So there is another base class method that you need to override, getKey, so which is essentially a method that we use to find out the key property of a particular entity. So for actor, the key is ID. So let's just return that. And let's run this service and ask for a particular actor. There you go.
Nice.
That particular actor. And then let's implement some CRUD operations. So to implement create, you need to override the create entity method. And let's in the db.actors.addEntity. Let's add it to the DB. And save changes.
So if you're actually building out a service, you'd probably want to scrub some of the input that's coming in through the web API service. But obviously, this is a demo.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we have the create entity. Let's run the service.
And you wonder why I call you Feedback Fowler.
And
never hurts to call it out, man. Never hurts to call it out.
Let's actually create a new actor. And we are doing a post to the actor's entity set.
Cool. Can
and
we put Scarlett Johansson in there?
She's already in there.
Oh, she is in there?
She is.
Yeah.
The Avengers is in there.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
let's give it some random ID.
Brady. I think Brady should become part of the Screen Actors Guild. That sounds good.
Let's add Brady. So we have the action for creating an entity. Mm-hmm. And let's just post it. So before you do that, let's set the content type to JSON because you're posting JSON.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Application.
I always forget that.
And execute. Oh, I don't have the service running.
400.
That's a very helpful tip. Make sure your service is running.
Yeah. Yes. So you got your 502. Let's post it again now that the service is running.
Ding.
And there you go. The HTTP post 201, which says the content has been created.
Great.
And this is the actual Brady that got created in the actors entity set.
Nice.
Big round of applause that Brady's in the Screen Actors Guild. Excellent.
I wonder if my record is right next to Scarlett Johansson's record.
Maybe. Maybe.
Like Hefner in Maryland.
So some of the interesting things that entity set controller does over the movies controller is it is actually responding with the OData convention status codes, which is 201. Whereas if you actually implemented this in OData controller, you need to write the code for returning the correct status code.
So if you implement your own, does it always come back 200? Everything's okay?
If you're just returning an actor, it says that it's a 200, unless you explicitly say it's a 201.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 200.
Does it return a 404 if you do a search for an actor that's not there?
No, you need to have that code.
Okay.
No,
but if it's an entity set controller, it is going to give you a 404 if you're returning a null.
Cool.
So those are some interesting HTTP semantics that entity set controller automatically handles
for
you. There is something called as HTTP prefer header.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, when you're doing a post and you don't want the response, which is the newly created actor in this case, you don't want that in the response, you can say prefer header. Mm-hmm. You can set the prefer header to say no response, and entity set controller actually honors the prefer header.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Whereas if you have the OData controller, you need to handle that yourself.
Yeah. Cool.
So I've noticed that you've been using Fiddler this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other tip about using the entity set is another great tip. Is there any other tools or whatnot that you would tell anyone out there that's listening that really help you build out OData services?
Well, this is going to be risky, but let's try accessing this service from Excel.
Okay.
Hmm. And see how the data comes. So we are exposing the actors entity set and movies entity set. Let's connect to Excel and see if we can run this service. Let's create data from other sources. There you go, from OData data feed.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see HTTP localhost. Hope the demo gods are there. And OData.
We want actors as well, right? Or
It is going to browse the data, which is it goes to the entity set document.
Okay.
The service document. Figures out what all entity sets are there, and it will show you.
Nice. Okay, that makes
sense.
Let's
click next. It's getting the table list, which is the entity set list. 50231, that's 50232. Yeah. Always mix this.
There you go.
So you're exposing two entity set actors and movies.
Cool.
Let's say you want the movies. Let's say finish.
So
let's actually create a pivot chart.
We're already halfway to a pretty graph that explains exactly what Brady's brother-in-law is looking for. What's the brother-in-law?
And that's it. You want the name?
Oh, yeah.
Brady has a temporary lapse in every moment.
That was earlier in the chat room. I'm sorry. How did you know about that? That's
and
pretty cool.
There you go. You have all the movies and Beautiful Mind, Aliens, all that.
That's awesome.
Great. Let's see by country. So let's see movies from United States, Maybe some other.
That's alright. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool, though.
So you can access your OData services from Excel, and as we have mentioned earlier, you can create RSS feeds out of your entity sets that you can publish. And then there are lots of clients that already have mentioned Breeze.js, Data.js for accessing your OData services from JavaScript. And then there are lots of clients in other languages as well.
Mm. Yeah, we mentioned LinkPad last week as well.
I was just going to say that. We're totally on the same wavelength right now.
I like Excel, though. That's pretty good because you can just pull it in. Your manager calls you and they say, hey, we need to get a data dump of all the data in the database. How long is that going to take? Well, I just call my web API feed from Excel and hand it over to you.
Yeah. So.
Next thing I want to talk about is the action conventions, which is you have seen you are writing some actions like get movies, get movie, get actors, and stuff like that. So there are some default OData conventions, action conventions that we have. Let's say you are accessing the URL, get and the name of the entity set, that is get/movies. So the action that would be invoked on the controller is either get or get movies. And let's say you're actually posting a new movie to the entity set, to that movies entity set. So you're going to implement an action that says post. The name of the action is going to be post.
So the one thing that I've noticed on here is we're not using input. So these are the only verbs that are currently implemented in web API, or
these are the general HTTP verbs, like you have get, post, get, put. Put is essentially update.
Okay.
Patch. So if you want to do a differential update, you can use patch and delete.
Sorry, patch is what I was thinking.
Okay,
great.
Okay,
cool.
And what are the supported features in this current release that we have? So we, as we have shown earlier, we have support for CRUD operations. And then we also support link manipulations. So for example, let's say you want to create a relationship between a particular actor and a movie. So OData has this concept called as dollar links, which you can use to create these relationships. So we actually support dollar links URIs. Nice. And then we support querying, rich support for querying. And we have seen earlier, we support server-side paging, the Atom and JSON formats, different types of them. And then haven't shown this. This is some advanced scenario in which, let's say you want to tweak your links. So for example, you want to expose actors at a different place than movies. You can do that through the link generation.
Nice.
And then we have support for OData actions. You have seen service document, dollar metadata. We do support OData inheritance.
Okay.
And we support OData collection properties.
Nice. Great.
And then the features that we are going to be working on in the next release, we don't have support for dollar expand and dollar select right now. That is one of the biggest feature requests that we have and is in our priority list. So we are going to implement that very soon. We don't have support for dollar count, but implementing dollar count is pretty easy. And then we don't have out-of-box support for containment. And as is the case with dollar count, you can implement containment pretty easily on top of ASP.NET Web API OData.
Great.
Nice.
And then other stuff like functions, dollar batch. And
so just briefly explain dollar batch. Is that just like pushing up multiple records instead of adding everything one at a time?
So a good example of dollar batch, this is not the complete example. So let's say you don't want, let's say you want to create 10 movies and you don't want to like create a movie in a single HTTP request. So you can say you want to you get you can put all those 10 posts in a single HTTP message, and you can post to dollar batch, and that would take care of it.
Nice.
So
that,
it's essentially an optimization.
That's good because that's if you were to be storing things in say Windows Azure Table Storage or something like that, having minimizing the number of requests that you're making to the server is definitely going to be something that's very useful. Cool.
That's fantastic.
And
awesome.
Then we don't have support for spatial types and media link entries and name streams, which are some other OData features that we are going to implement very soon.
When you have support for spatial types, are you going to add, how can I put this, like geoqueries into the query format? So I can say, give me everything within 10 miles, and it'll just pull back?
So like a radius search?
Yeah, a radius search. Thank you.
We haven't completely designed this, so I can't really answer that right now.
Number one feature request, radial searches.
I always ask for that.
Awesome.
We'll keep that in mind.
Cool.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate you taking us through a great walkthrough of ASP.NET Web API, mm-hmm. And specifically with OData. So mm-hmm. thanks so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And thanks all of you for coming out and joining us here on Webcams TV.
Mm-hmm. If you have anything you want to add or ask, feel free to use the comments board.
Yeah, we don't get enough comments.
We don't get enough comments.
Talk to us.
Talk to us. Tell us what you like or don't like.
Have a good one.